Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you won't have to scroll down far through your social media feeds to find something about the war in Gaza or Ukraine or perhaps Sudan or Yemen. But raising awareness of the suffering of others is, of course, a good thing. But a new type of activism has emerged that perhaps isn't quite as constructive. Jennifer Horgan is a columnist with the Irish Examiner, and she's been writing about the prevalence of guiltivism. And she joins me now. Jennifer, how are you today?
Hi, Tom. I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Am I guiltivism?
You are, perfectly.
Yeah. How would you describe that exactly, what it is?
Well, I'll start by explaining what it's not, because I want to be very respectful of the amazing work to highlight what's going on in Palestine and in other places. People marching, you know, appealing to the public, sharing information. That's wonderful, and I respect it deeply. But there is another dreamed...
Your line is very bad, Jennifer. Are you moving around or anything? It's kind of like you feel you're coming and going a little bit.
Am I okay now?
Let me see now. Just speak there for a minute. I don't know if I can hear you at all now. I think we might be on the verge of losing. We're going to try and call you back now. Just to fill you in on what we're talking about, it is that thing, and I don't know if you've noticed it around social media, that after a while, people start to call you out if you don't appear to be doing stuff. And I know very many people in the media who've gone away from social media and being involved with people who have to say were you know, genuinely great crack on social media and were getting involved in it to entertain more than anything else and you know, having fun. But then in the midst of their fun, you know, getting inundated then with very upsetting photographs, which you'll see from news feeds all around those news stories in the world, and being asked, more or less called out in public with a bit of a, you know, what are you doing to help these people and why are you not getting involved? And that has gone on with some people to such an extent that they've stopped engaging with social media completely and just won't have anything to do with them. So that's what we're talking about. And that's where it's kind of the idea of being guilted into all of that is the issue that we are talking about. So I'm looking up now and I think we have Jennifer back. Jennifer, you're back with us.
Hello, Tom.
I think I managed to explain roughly during that time what's going on. And what I was saying to people there is that it is that thing when people are on social media. So I was thinking of a few quite well-known people who were there entertaining you, saying funny things, and then suddenly get kind of called out in a, what are you doing telling us these funny stories when there's this kind of suffering in the world and why aren't you doing more about it and why aren't you getting involved?
That's exactly it. It's guilt of it. And so making people feel guilty for living their normal life. You know, things like how can you possibly celebrate Christmas when these awful things are happening and particularly happening to children? How can you get up and bring your kids to school whilst these things are happening to children?
Yeah.
So it's that attack on ordinary people for living their ordinary lives as if they actually can do anything really to stop it on the ground. So I think social media gives us a kind of a false sense that we are bystanders in the sense that we are actually there. But of course, we're not. We're very, very far removed. And we're very removed from the seat of power as well. We're not Israel. You know, we can do what we can do. And there are plenty of amazing, genuine activists doing what they can do. But there's a limit to what we can do. And it's not fair to make everybody feel as if they're participating in what's happening in these far off places in the world.
And I have to say, equating what you're doing in your normal everyday life with these things, it makes you stop posting anything. You're on the verge of posting the most maybe inane but maybe uplifting little thing of, you know, your dog drinking from a water fountain or one of the normal things that go on in your life and that give people a little lift. And you stop yourself. You go, no, I won't do it because I know what will happen.
Exactly. That's going to be misinterpreted. It's going to be flung back at me. And you're basically, and you're also, I don't think it actually inspires, if anything, I think people shut down when they see that kind of messaging. They're less inclined to maybe engage with what they could do. Because on some level, we know that it's deeply unfair to be accused of being horrible people for just going about our daily lives. And like, the thing is that most people, I think, within their daily lives are spending their time caring for people.
That's a huge thing too, isn't it? That when you attack someone like that and you say, why are you not doing this? You have no idea what's going on in that person's life.
Exactly. It's not engaging with the complexities of anyone's life. And I think that's how we should probably, every day we leave our house, we should think of that, you know, like, we don't know what's going on with anyone. And it makes it easier sometimes when people do things we don't like or whatever, to just remind ourselves, we don't know. Like, it's really hard to know. So that assumption that people are just cruel and couldn't care less and aren't thinking about children who are dying, it's really deeply unfair and it's not effective.
So do you think, is it targeted? Is it coming from a certain, you know, group of people, or is it just people reacting randomly?
I've noticed a few kind of individuals I see it from. And the thing is, I think they're well-meaning as well. Like, I think they feel genuine rage and they feel genuine pain, and they're just misdirecting it, and they're misinterpreting other people's kind of normal behavior, you know, as being part of the problem.
Yeah. So
it's just misdirected rage. But of course, I understand their rage, and we all feel it. We all feel deeply, deeply upset by what's happening. And as a country, we feel it. And I think the rest of the world recognizes that. So I'd love to see a little bit more recognition of that, I think, you
right.
know, like, just celebration of the activism, celebration of what people are doing.
Yeah.
And less of the, how dare you bring your kids to school stuff.
Yeah. It is, though, when you're, you know, thinking about it, if you're just on social media, there is an odd thing that you think, never have we seemed to have so many different ways to express our opinion. But often it seems like never have we felt less powerful on top of that. And when you think back to previous times, there were things like the Dunstores strikers refusing to handle it. So, you know, those stories were very inspiring, weren't they?
They're really inspiring. But again, like, the interesting thing in that story, I think, is that initially the woman, Karen Guerin, who refused to handle the fruit, she didn't actually know very much at all about what was happening in South Africa. She refused to handle the fruit because she was given a letter by the trade union. But it was after the fact that she learnt about apartheid, and it was when an anti-apartheid activist actually came and visited them striking. That's when they really got a fire in their bellies, and they fought remarkably for years on end, to get the government to listen to them and to pass the legislation that they did. But it was actually about their everyday lives. That's why they initially went on strike, because they felt that they were being mistreated by the management. It was about an everyday kind of concern. And then it became something very different through the encouragement of others and each other. I think the fact that they maybe weren't flooded by social media and that they were educated slowly about apartheid, I think, you know, that possibly it's easier to manage. I think we feel a bit paralysed because we've got so much information, and yet it feels like there's very little we can do.
Yeah. One listener saying, why we pay these people attention, ignore and block them and move on is the best reaction. Is it the best reaction? I mean, is blocking them something, maybe? Because a little bit of you feels, if you do that, that you're kind of hiding your head under the sand.
Yeah, I mean, I understand blocking it. I think, yeah, that's fine. But I think there's a lot of people who, I don't know, there's a lot of people who don't even think of doing that. They're just kind of scrolling and they're affected. You know, like, I think there's people who, maybe older people as well, who are coming across this stuff who don't really know. But yeah, I think blocking is reasonable. But then what do you worry as well then? I think it's important to kind of talk about it, though, because if you just block it, it becomes maybe stronger in a small cohort of people. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what listeners have to say.
There's a listener saying if people can share their dog or what they've bought in a shop, then they can share a link or a story of Palestinian children. They don't need to share the McDonald's order. For me, that's gone in the opposite direction of what we're really saying, to be honest. It's saying that instead of just being able to share little joys in your life, which is one of what I think social media should be about and was about in the early days, it doesn't mean you have to then balance it out by addressing world issues.
Yeah.
Mm. Going to be a long time debating this one, Jennifer. I think it may be running at the start of, because social media has gone from something that used to be very enjoyable to something that more and more people are less and less willing to become engaged with.
Yeah, and I think, like, have we lost the run of ourselves in terms of, like, what is posting? Like, is post, I don't know, to what extent is posting something activism? As in,
yeah,
I think posting information to an event or to something you can do.
Yeah.
I get that. But I think posting like horrific imagery to say, you know, don't forget about these people or don't forget about this issue. I'm just not sure that's helpful because I think you'd really want to be living under a rock to not know what's going on.
Absolutely.
And so I particularly, I find like the images of children, the awful, awful images of children, there's an ethical element there too, in terms, like as a parent, I'm thinking, if somebody was sharing a picture of my child in this situation, having just been killed, that would just pile horror on top of horror, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what is that really doing? Who is it for?
Absolutely. Jennifer, listen, thanks very much. I believe this probably is the beginning of a long conversation, but thanks very much for joining us today. Jennifer Horgan, their columnist with the Irish Examiner.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.